You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
You know, when we say make disciples, it wasn't actually a suggestion. It was really a command before Jesus was taken up to heaven. And it was indeed a great commission. Everybody say great commission. But that making disciples nowadays seems to be lost. Seems to be lost simply because the people understanding of make disciples has something to do with the spiritual giants. Making disciples has something to do with the spiritual elites. It is those people who are so-called anointed evangelists. Make disciples is only for those who are part of the fivefold ministry gifting, such as the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. If you don't belong to that group, then discipleship or making disciples is not really for you. Make disciples today is at loss simply because of a different understanding about that word. And so I believe God's desire is for disciples. Are you here with me? God is not interested, if I may. God is not interested about converts. A lot of people just got touched and be emotional about their situation. And so, man, okay, fine. God wants to save me. Okay, good. Lord, sure. I don't want to die into this storm. Lord God, yes, I want to put my trust in you. You're a savior. Then I want to put you being my insurance so that when I die, maybe if I die, then if I get drowned, then I'll go to heaven because you're my insurance. Well, let me tell you this. God is not interested with converts. Just as God is not interested with church people, so-called church hoppers or church rabbits. I heard that from someone, and they would jump from one church to another and check out what's going on and try to compare the preaching, and they will say, what's the latest craze in the body of Christ? Who's the latest, you know, tech and all this technologies here and there in a particular church? Well, God is not interested with church hoppers. As in, God is not interested with church goers or church attendees. The people would just show up on a Sunday, just like they view church as a religion. It's a Sunday thing. It's a 1.5 hour kind of commitment that all you need to do is to sit down there and hear what a preacher says, and that's it. I'd like to say God is not interested with those. But God is interested with those who so-called wholehearted followers of him. That's why disciples or discipleship is so important to talk about. I believe the Lord wants to recover the so-called mandate. It is an apostolic mandate. It is something that the Lord wants to recover, and every church needs to focus on making disciples. That we're not just attendees or goers. Yes, yeah, where do you attend? Well, in Victory, I attend a 5 o'clock service. And are you a member of that? Yeah, in a way, I just attend Victory. And so, but you'll see them around. But Christianity is in there 24/7. That's why on the onset we say, we honor God 24/7. We're not trying to be perfect. Nobody will be perfect. But God is faithful that he wanted us to be just like him. In the scripture that we read in Acts chapter 8, it's a very interesting story where the background of this was there was a revival in the church. There was people are getting saved here and there. The church is growing. In Acts chapter 8, there was a great persecution. Something happened. All of a sudden, you know, the church that you used to see no longer exists. When I say church, it refers to people. The church that we call the church, the people, no longer you see around. In fact, because of that persecution, the Bible says all were scattered except the apostles. In other words, para kung ganito po ang scenario natin, si Pastor Alfred lang yun andito, lahat tayo scattered, hindi tayo makita. Kasi nga persecution, papatayin ka, okay, dudurugin ka, ikakat ka in half. Pag nalaman ka na Kristiyano ka, that you're serving this particular group, okay, serving Jesus, guess what? They're gonna kill you. So there was a great persecution and God used that to propagate His word. That's why we see here that there's something that happened wherein there's this guy by the name of Philip, who is a Greek-speaking Gentile, was told by an angel to reach out this specific person. In fact, this guy who is Philip, all right, you will see him in Acts chapter 6, where he was part of this group called what? Deacons. Thank you. He's part of the deacons. Because there's a growth that's happening in the church. Anong nangyari po? The apostles has to concentrate in prayer and the word of God. But there's this particular group of people who's deacons. And their function is to take care of the people for the distribution of food and water for service. In other words, this man, the Bible says, was just like anyone else. But he was full of the Spirit and wisdom. And so what happened was God actually tell him, send someone, all right, for him to reach out this guy by the name of, there's no name, he is an Ethiopian eunuch. Everybody say Ethiopian eunuch. Scripture says this Ethiopian eunuch was a high profile person, a very important official from Ethiopia. He's a person in charge with the treasury, probably a minister of finance, all right, or central bank, where he holds all the treasuries of that particular nation. And what happened was this Ethiopian eunuch came from his country, went to Jerusalem for the reason to worship. But Leviticus says those people like him was forbidden to worship. So they were cast out. Not cast out, actually, but somehow unacceptable or rejected. Just like us, for some reason, we were unacceptable or rejected. The same situation with this man. This man was not like any other Jew or Gentile. This man was a black person. If Pastor Robert Hearn would be here, he would scold me by saying black. All right? This guy is a African-American, if I want to be safe. All right? So he's a rapper, in other words. All right, so that's the guy, an African-American, a black guy. So what happened was, think about this. He was so important to God that God wants to reach him. The scenario was, if he's a high profile, an official, why would God send someone like Philip, who was an usher, a servant, a waiter? He's supposed to send someone like the apostle. Everybody say an apostle. Like Peter the Rock. Like James the apostle with authority and power. Or probably John, who is a beloved that, yes, he's rejected. He's unacceptable. So he needs somebody who would love him. So here comes John, the beloved. Hey, let me love you. All right, let me accept you. All right, let me accept this guy. You know, he needs love. And I'm John, the beloved. He could have sent someone like in the League of the Apostle. But God didn't send someone like them. In fact, the apostle stayed there in Jerusalem. He could have sent an angel. Like a messenger Gabriel. Whom... like the way he would send a message to the people in the Old Testament by showing up, and an angel will give a message so that the person could be saved. But guess what? Why not an angel? Because angels doesn't have any testimonies. God could have sent his own, the Holy Spirit, who convicts sin, and he could send a revival just like that for the person to be saved. why would all people God send someone, a waiter, a servant, an usher, like Philip? There must be something. He was sending someone who is what we call an ordinary person. In verse 26, instead of an angel going to the eunuch, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. He says, go south. Here's what happened. Verse 27, so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. Think about this. I believe discipleship has something to do with starting out somewhere. What happened was, this man was a man of action, just like God is a God of action. He wants people to be saved. So there was an instruction from an angel. It says, go south. And he went. He started out. And that's what discipleship is. It's starting out somewhere. It's not just coming to the church and hearing the preaching of your word. Starting out to follow Christ wherever he goes, whatever his instructions for you. It's about obeying God. Are you here with me? The Spirit told him in verse 29, go to the chariot and stay near it. Specific. The Spirit says, go to that chariot and stay near it. And I believe he'll be surprised. He didn't know probably what he looks like, but he says, go. Here's what happened in verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah. See, Philip, out of his obedience, run towards the chariot. Aba, ibang klase ito. Hindi ito yung tatayo siya, mag-share siya. Ito yung hinahabol niya. Kasi sabi ng Spirit, go. Stay near the chariot. The chariot was moving so fast. You know how fast it was? It was so fast, it was moving, man, speed of 2 horsepower. You know why? Because the chariot has 2 horses, all right, with him, pulling the chariot. So, ambeles, di ba? 2 horsepower. So, thank you. Some of you didn't get that. That's okay. That's fine. So, 2 horsepower. He was running and said, hey, look. Verse 34. It says there, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? The eunuch was begging. And someone, in our hearts, we have some questions, looking for answers, begging about the truth. Before we got saved, how do we believe that we started seeking, we started to know the real truth and say, God, what is this? I want to see and hear some answers. Lord, I want to know the truth. The same way. In fact, the Bible says, Enoch asked Philip, tell me please. He was begging. I remember one time during our time, the 80s. How many of you were part of the 80s like me? Let me tell you, the 80s rock. There was this group called Duran Duran. And they had this song that says, please, please tell me now. Please, please tell me now. Simon Le Bon was begging, please, please tell me now. Guess what? That's the cry of the world today. The world is crying out, please, can someone just show up and give me answers? Can someone just show up and share to me about truth, about reality, and about life? Are you here with me? Verse 35, it says there, Philip began with a very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He started to share about the reality of life. He didn't share about religion. He didn't share about formula, but a relationship towards Jesus. You know, there's a big difference between world religions and Christianity. There's a big difference of what Christ has done and what other men has done. Well, here's the difference between the good news, the gospel message. The world religions will tell you what we do for God because we owe Him. Christianity will tell us what God has done for us through Christ. Are you here with me? The world will tell, hey, look, yeah, in this religion, dapat ganito, dapat ganyan, 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 ganyan. It's full of rules, regulations, spiritual obligations. While Christianity has something to do with God reaching down to us through Christ, that He paid the penalty for our sins. Are you hearing me right now? That's the good news. World religion spells their religion, all the religions combined together, it spells like this, D-O. Do something in order for you to be accepted. Well, Christianity spells D-O-N-E. Jesus says, it's over. It's done. Why are you sacrificing and doing the things that you're not supposed to do? Where once and for all, I sacrificed, went to the cross. That instead of you dying, I did it for you. It's done deal. Christianity, or word religion, people still trying to find out how to pay for their sins. Jesus did it once and for all. People still wonder, how can they be accepted with their guilt within them? Look, what Christianity did was Jesus, because on the cross He shed His blood for you to have direct access towards Jesus Himself, that it is over. I can forgive you. I can restore you. I can bring you back the life that you once have and that you're looking for. He died for you and I. That's what the gospel is. And here's the question. Why would Philip respond to that call? Him being a servant. Him being an usher. Him being what? A waiter. He was just a deacon. You know, there's a big difference between a deacon then and the deacon now. Do you understand? Well, here's the difference. A deacon now is if you're a deacon, you sit on the board and you make decisions. That's what I heard from other people, right? They have this agenda and they will make decisions. It's a board of deacons. Guess what? Deacons then is a person who serves, an usher. Talks about the menial tasks, that there's anything that we need to serve people, there were there for them. That's a deacon, an usher. I remember one time I was in U Belt, I was still a student when they put a deacons, and I belonged to this group of deacons. I was the youngest deacon. I was a student and I was there, an usher. I would get these chairs, all right, and set it up for the people. I was the first one to be there, and I was the last one to load all the chairs back. I was a student. I was ready to serve. I know what an usher is. I know what we talk about when we talk about service. That's what it is. But God, out of all people, He called a deacon, a servant. And why would Philip respond? Because he understands this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. For what? For the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. He knew the power of the gospel. That is why he went and he says, Lord, something happened with the gospel that I have. What is that? Number one, the gospel message changes how we see and relate to other people. The gospel message changes how we see and relate to other people. He knew the power of God. In fact, he could have given reasons not to reach out to the guy. Bakit? Lord, this guy, probably the first time you've seen a black man. Eh, Lord, ang itim niyan eh. Hindi ako makarelate. Lord, iba kami. Lord, iba yan eh. Ang taas niyan eh. Lord, sobrang taas, Lord, official. Usher. Lord, anong sasabihin ko? But he received an instruction, go. Go reach that guy. I remember in a meeting where we're part of Victory Christian Fellowship, or Victory Church is part of a bigger body. It's called PCEC, or Philippine Council of Evangelical Churches. And I remember sitting in a big group of leaders, different denominations and different churches, and we were preparing for a conference. And what happened was, some of the people started telling, oh, ikaw, church na ganito. Ah, grabe yung nare-reach out yung mga businessman. O sige, kailangan natin sila for this conference. Yan, kailangan natin. Okay, nare-reach out nyo yung mga Chinese. Okay, itong church na to. Yung mga church ito, yung mga masa. Sige, reach out nyo kayo. Dito sa Victory, ah, kayo nare-reach out nyo yung mga artista, yung mga basketball player, yung mga very well-known. And guess what? We're not reaching the actors and the actresses. Ang nire-reach out po natin, yung mga ma-arte at hindi marunong umarte. Alright? Gusto ko lang natin sabihin yan. Anyway, sabi nyo, you're reaching the actors and the actresses. Alright? And yun yung mga nire-reach out nyo. And kayo, nire-reach out nyo yung mga mayayaman. And you know what? Teka muna, something's wrong with that. It didn't jive in our spirit. So we stood up and said, with all due respect for the record, Victory Christian Fellowship or Victory Church is not reaching a specific people. We are reaching all ages across the board, all of the above. And the reason why there are actors and actresses and probably politicians attending this church, because we realize that the gospel is for everyone. Walang sinisino po ang gospel. Kahit sino yan, matalino yan, o medyo mahina, mayaman yan, hindi gano'ng kayaman, kilala yan, hindi kilala, nasa TV yan, politiko yan, kahit sino pa yan, that person needs to hear the gospel, and we are to share the gospel to them. Amen. Do you hear that? The gospel message changes how we see and relate to other people. Just like Honey Reyes, why would she ends up in Victory? Eh dahil nung kami usher, umupo sa harapan niya, pinalis namin. Ah, ma'am, excuse me po. That is basically for pastors. I'm sorry, you can sit over there. She sits at the second row. I'm sorry, ma'am. This first two, three rows for pastors po. You know, I'm sorry. Guess what? She went to my pastor, Pastor Luther. Make some bong. And guess what Pastor Luther says? You know what? He's the assistant head usher. And Connie, she's right. There's a reserved seat. That settles her. Settles it. There is no superstar in the kingdom of God. There's one superstar, and his name is Jesus. Can you say amen to that? The gospel message changed how we see and relate to other people. In fact, this guy, Philip, overcame social barrier. They realize he's the first one who ever preached outside of Jerusalem. The very thing that Jesus wanted. That's why when you see people, let's look at them the way Jesus sees them. That's why we can reach those. Sometimes we feel like, I don't like them. But yet, the gospel can change us. Secondly, the gospel message changed his life and what? His life and purpose. The gospel message changed his person. Imagine an usher used by God later on, guess what? To be an evangelist. He was selfless. He didn't think about himself anymore. He could have so many reasons. Lord, desert yan. Pupunta ako disyerto. Eh, sabi ng angel, go to the desert down the road. Lord, hindi ako yan. Pang ano ako, Lord, pang Metro East kami. Ayaw namin na mainit. Gusto namin may tubig dito. Gusto namin yung tipong umuulan. How many of you believe that he could have given the reason? He was selfless. It changed him. He was willing. He had this attitude, so whatever it takes attitude, I'm gonna go to that guy and do whatever it takes. Because the gospel is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. He was willing. He knows he's an usher. But there was willingness on his part. God was preparing him for something that is big. He may not have the ability. When we were students, guess what? I never thought I'm going to end up being a pastor. I thought I will be a millionaire, a businessman. But God called me to be one, a pastor. I never thought one day I'm going to preach to all of people sharing God's word, but God called me. Why? Because I was willing more than I had the ability to do it. The gospel message changed his life and purpose. Number three, the gospel has the power to transform an individual and nations. Eunuch. Yes, high profile, but he's still a lost person. He's still like anyone else, imperfect, full of ups and downs, insecure, because Jesus wasn't there. The gospel has the power to transform an individual. After that story, there was this man who belonged to a great era in the church history by the name of Eusebius. Eusebius is the one who wrote his thesis called Ecclesiastical History, where it's an important information to what happened to the first three centuries of Christianity. And he wrote something like this regarding the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, after he was baptized in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, we never heard about the Ethiopian eunuch again. But the historical church in Ethiopia connects their faith and their story right there. Later, tradition identified the eunuch as the first Gentile convert and the founder of the Ethiopian church. Think about that. Think about the impact of a man that was changed by the power of the gospel. And later on, made a big difference in his own nation. The Ethiopian eunuch went to Jerusalem searching for answers about God and his Christ. Came back home as a witness. In 333 AD, King Izana of Ethiopia became a Christian and he declared Christianity as a state religion of a whole nation. Because of what happened, Christianity there today in Ethiopia, they are experiencing Christianity, openness about the gospel, because it traced back Acts chapter 8. When that person was saved, the gospel has the power to change an individual. And guess what? He used someone who's an ordinary guy, like Philip. The good news is, God wants to use a person exactly like him, just like us, to make an impact, because he wants an ordinary man reaching those people out there, the lost. Can we just turn off the lights and show this video as we end?
Souvenir. No, I'll bring you back a souvenir.
Let the tournament begin!
Oh! are you pointing?
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just wanted to see who the dragon warrior was.
How interesting.
Master, are you pointing at me?
Him?
Who?
You.
Me?
The universe has brought us the dragon warrior.
What?
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 May we ask the ushers to pass around the popcorn? All right. Anyway, I guess it's good to end up with, a movie with Poe. All right. And what's the point there? Poe is what? Very unlikely. Slow. A glutton. Lazy. He just wanted to know who will be the dragon warrior would be. He was probably a face in the crowd, spectator just like us. But yet, he was chosen because the director chose him, or whoever did that. It's kind of funny, isn't it? But in our own life, we might be thinking, I might not be as great as the Furious Five, supposed to be one of them. Maybe Tigress. I don't have to be part of me being an apostle and a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor and a teacher. All it takes for me to understand that God is using an ordinary person. Just like you, exactly like you, is the very person that God wants to use, an ordinary. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, here's what he says. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they were not apostles then, realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. But all it takes is for you, if you have a relationship with Jesus, and discipling, and be part of a discipleship. Well, I believe God wants to use you. Well, God wants to use an ordinary people to make disciples. Before I pray, I want to say this. We are serious about this. In fact, part of who we are is about making disciples. It's what Jesus said. This has been our cry, our desire, because that is the heart of Jesus. That's why I want to say next week, if you're not part of a victory group, something is missing in your life. Believe me. It's not enough for you to walk alone, just attend a service. You got to have someone who will inspire you, who can pray for you, who can push you around and be the person, the best person who could ever be, because God has called us to make an impact in our generation, in this nation. God wants to use us, ordinary people, to make disciples.